right. Well, good morning again, everybody. Good to see you. Welcome to week number two in our Living in Freedom series. And we are also right in the midst of our 21 days of prayer and fasting. And how y'all doing? Y'all doing good with it? All right. How many of y'all have, anybody have a day that you ate that Hershey bar? Come on, just be honest. Yeah. Yeah. Some of you know, some of you being honest, that's okay. Hey, I wanted to take just a second as we're in this time of prayer and fasting together, just to keep you encouraged. And if you had that Hershey bar, it's okay, all right? Because I want to just encourage you, don't get legalistic with this, all right? Enjoy this time with your God, all right? And so, and if you had a Hershey bar, just start back up fresh, you know, tomorrow, all right? And just enjoy the journey and the closeness. I just want to just tell you, too, that just in this first week, I think today's day seven, I want to say, that we have already just heard some great just reports, feedback of just God already moving. In this week, and so we thank God for that. Last week, we took some time, and if you were here, we had some lifesavers. Everybody got a lifesaver last week, all right? Not to eat yet, all right? And so what we did is at the end of services, we prayed for that and just attached a name to it for someone that we're believing for the Lord to save this year, because we're called to be lifesavers. Amen, everybody? And so that was part of that, and just heard this week that God was already moving on different people's lifesavers that they were believing for. So I think that was awesome, and so we're so glad to hear that. And so just enjoy this time together with the Lord, and just even just know your church family, we're with you, we're praying for you as well, and I'm excited for the next 2 weeks. And I just encourage you, jump in with us, so jump in, join in on this journey with us, and we still got 2 weeks left in it, so it's going to be powerful, and so we're thankful. If you already haven't grabbed your message notes, you can go ahead and do that, and we're going to get into our message. And obviously, this series is something that we've just been extremely passionate about and stirred in our hearts and our spirit about, because we are believing coming into this year, freedom is really going to be our year of freedom in all of our lives. And I know for some of us, we are believing that this is the year, that this is your all-in year. And so I just encourage you, let's jump in. And 2017 can be the greatest year of your life if it's the greatest year of your life spiritually. All right, and so that choice is up to you and for you to make that investment in just journeying with the Lord. John chapter 8 is our theme verse for this series. And Jesus is talking to believers here. And it starts out and it says this: to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples." So that's kind of the first lesson. And here's the second lesson: and then you will know the truth, and it's the truth that will set you free. And they answered him, and they responded back to that, and they said, "Well, Jesus, we are Abraham's descendants, have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" And Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family." In other words, you're on your way to heaven, but there's things that are happening, and you're missing out on the benefits of God right here on this earth, or the quality that you and I can live on this earth. And here's the truth that I know that, and we talked about this last week, that there'll be, unfortunately, people that'll love Jesus, but'll live in bondage on this earth, still go to heaven. But how many know it's not the will of God for you and I to live in bondage while we're still on this earth? That God desires freedom for our lives. Amen, everybody? And so that's part of this. And then going on to say, "But a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Man, I love that. And so just to kind of catch you up, if you missed last week's message, I want to encourage you, get on the app, get online, make sure you listen to it. And part of the reason why, and this just isn't a pastor's commercial to listen to the message if you missed it, I really want you to, and here's why. Part of last week's message, though, God just gave me something very personal for you. And so I just want to encourage you, if you missed it, please go back, take a listen through it, because it is for you specifically. And just in some time in prayer at the end of November and December, I feel like God just gave me a few things for you. So just want to make sure you catch that. But also in last week's message, we just talked on the subject, and my topic was not staying where we're at. That making the decision that I'm not staying here, that sometimes we come into New Year's with the same thing on our resolution list or on our goals that we had in previous years. And why does that happen? So we talked a little bit about why that happens, and sometimes the reason why that happens is because our spirit is not leading the way. That oftentimes that we find ourselves in a place that we are not as connected to God as we need to be, and we are more connected to the world. And so what happens is that there's a war within going on within every single one of us. And the war that's going on is that you and I are a triune being, spirit, soul, and body. And one of those, and they're always competing, one's always competing to be in charge. And so last week, I just asked the question of who's in charge? Who's in charge? The soul part of us is kind of that part that's dealing with some of maybe anger or depression or things like that, and that we just maybe can't seem to break free from. And the body part of us is what craves after lustful things many times. And so, and then obviously there's the spirit part of you, that God wants the spirit part of you to be strong. But one of those are in charge. One of those are leading the way. And so I asked last week, who is it? And the question, really, kind of the answer to that is whoever you're feeding the most is in charge. Whatever one of those three that you're feeding the most is going to be in charge in your life. And so we talked about this last week of not only who's in charge, but understanding, setting us up for this week, because there's one thing. Everybody say one thing. And sometimes it's not just one thing. It can be a few things that continue to, we find ourselves being tripped up a little bit with what's going on in our lives, that God wants to bring everlasting freedom to us. And so today I want to just talk to you on this subject of that. I almost called it one thing, but instead of just called it breaking the cycle or breaking the cycles in our life. And I looked this definition up of the definition of cycle, and it means this: a series of events that are regularly repeated in the same order. And I want you to know that God desires to bring everlasting freedom for your life, for my life, to break the cycles, breaking the things that hold us back from a life that God has intended for us to live, and to live a life that is of freedom. And I want to encourage us, let's go all in with God even right here today. I want to read this scripture to you out of Galatians 5:17, because I think it kind of sets us up well. And it says, "For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For they are opposed to each other to," look at this, "to keep you from doing the things you want to do." And so what I'm doing is I'm inviting you on a journey with us in this year, and we're in a time right now of 21 days of prayer and fasting, and that we are getting serious before the Lord and praying and fasting, disconnecting from the world to have some time that we can set aside to the Lord. And so I want to encourage you, if you missed last week, on your way out today, if you didn't already get this, and we've got some wristbands, all right, and they just say pray first on them, so if you want to grab a wristband. But the other thing that we have is our prayer journal, and just that if you're new to prayer or just kind of wondering, man, how do I just start off in this thing of prayer? How do I pray? What's communication with God look like? I want to encourage you. We've tried to make it simple just to kind of help you get jump started in this journey. So make sure you can ask our team for one on your way out today so we can get that in your hands. The other thing is, man, I just want to tell you something cool that happened yesterday. Is we started back up in our Saturday morning time of prayer. It starts at 9 a.m. We start on time, we end on time, and right at 10 or right before 10 a.m. And y'all, it was off the hook yesterday. It just did this pastor's heart good. And I know many work and some can't always be there. And so there's no condemnation. So I don't want you to receive it as such. I just want you to know, as we started, people just kept coming through the doors yesterday. And these altars were just packed with people praying and believing God for not just, man, us as a church, but man, just to move in this city as well and in this time of fasting. And it was amazing. I was so proud. And so I want to encourage you, and I want to invite you to join us on these Saturday mornings at 9 and tell your flesh to shut up, all right? Because I know it's easy to kind of snooze it in a little bit, but I'm telling you, it's going to be worth it. And I just challenge you in this, and just hear my heart on this, that if you find yourself in a place of struggling, of consistency in your prayer life, man, you got to get around some praying folks. And if you find yourself in that place, I think allowing yourself to be in an atmosphere of prayer is important, because prayer is contagious. And I believe that prayer is more caught than it is taught anyway. And so you'll catch what God is doing. So I just want to invite you on that. And then lastly, last week, if you weren't here, I want to give you this opportunity too this week, that on the bottom of your connection card, to write down what you're believing God for in this year of 2017. All right, and then what we're going to do is we're going to take the whole month of January, and we're just going to pray. We're going to pray over all those needs. We've already begun, and you'll notice on your, again, on your connection card, it's perforated, so we can just, we'll rip that bottom part off. Nobody will even know who it is, but they'll know the need to pray for, all right? And so I just want to encourage you, take us up on that opportunity, because the whole month we are going to be praying for you with that. And so why do we go to the place of man, I'm still struggling, though, that one thing or that those things in my life. And so Romans chapter 7, verse 15. I love how Paul starts this verse because I identify completely. He said this, "I don't understand myself at all." How many have ever said that? Man, like I just don't get me. I thank God for that verse, all right? That's a great verse for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Brother Paul, all right? And so he goes on to say, "For I really want to do what's right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do the very thing I hate." And so what I'm asking you to do is to go on a journey with us. And it's going to have to be more than 30 minutes on a message on a Sunday. All right? And I'm going to tell you more about what that means. Because if we don't commit and if we don't dive in fully, man, we're going to go on a progression that we don't want to go down. A progression that's going to send us down a direction that maybe we're already starting to feel it. And I can relate to this progression. I'm going to show you what this progression looks like if we don't make some decisions with God. Because that one thing or those things in our life, that cycle, whatever it is for us, we start in a place where it becomes our identity. It really starts becoming who we are. That's the struggle. And for some, it may be anger. For some, it might be addictions in our life. But it becomes just a kind of who we are. But let me just say it this way, though. But it's not really who you are. It's part of the enemy for you. It's planned to get you and I to believe the lies of the enemy. All right? But it's not really who we are. But because there's an unwillingness to deal with it, we get stuck in this place. And then what happens is we move into the progression even more where we start feeling increasingly hopeless. We just don't feel like, man, there's any hope for this situation. I don't know if I'm ever going to get out of this. And then we continue to slide down the progression where we start getting defensive, where people that love us try to help us, but we just put up walls and we just say things like, "I don't want to hear it. No, I'm good. Maybe you've said that before." I've said that before. But we get stuck and we start sliding down this place and it's dangerous. And then what happens is we start becoming a slave to it. So we start serving the very thing that we know is destroying us. And we don't want to, but it's part of this progression that happens if we don't deal with this. And then ultimately, you begin to lose your life. Still going to heaven, but missing out on the benefits, missing out on the quality of the life that God has for you right here on this earth. I've even seen some, man, lose families, lose jobs because of it. And I believe in Jesus' name, though, in this year, let's change the progression in Jesus' name. Let's go on a journey and understand it's the truth. Everybody say it's the truth. All right, everybody say that will set me free. And so that's what I want us to understand. It's the truth, everybody, that's going to set us free. And so here's really what that means, 2017 terms. It means we need new programming. And I'm going to show you what I mean by new programming in a minute and just our thoughts and how we think. Because up to this point, if we're honest, it's how we've been doing things have not been working. And so we've got to make the changes in our life in order to see good and freedom come about. The Barna Research Group is a group that really does a lot of Pew studies across churches all over America and even the world. And they came out with a stat that, and I'm just kind of a guru for stats, if you know me, I just enjoy statistics, but this one was interesting to me that this particular stat was one that they did in this nation. And 59-60% of the population will actually disagree with what I'm going to say here next, all right? But here's, again, what I know, everybody. It's the truth that will set us free, all right? And so this may make some of us a little nervous, all right? May make some of us a little uncomfortable, but I want you to hear, man, the heart of God through this and to bring, hopefully in Jesus' name, an awareness to help us and to understand the truth that will set us free, all right? All right, so relax. Everybody ready, though? All right, number one, here we go. Jot this down, and that is demons are real. Yeah, they're real, and they are not just costumes on Halloween. That almost 60% of the Christians in this nation believe that the devil is just a symbol but not a real being, all right? And so here's what I know. If I were the devil, I would want you to think the same thing, that I wasn't real. And so in other words, if you don't know that he exists, then you won't actively fight something that does not exist. All right? And so there's friends of ours that we had some years ago, and they had moved into a townhouse. Y'all know what a townhouse is? It's kind of like two levels, and it's kind of like an apartment, really. And so they moved in this townhouse, and they were there for just a couple of months when one morning they got up, he and his wife, and got up early and got ready for work and were headed downstairs to have breakfast before they go. And they come downstairs and they look to the right, and their front door is wide open. And so they do a little other investigating, and they realize all of their furniture, their belongings are gone. They were robbed completely, down to the phone that they even had. That's a bad day, isn't it? And so you got to imagine how they felt, that while they were sleeping, I mean, they felt vulnerable, they felt violated, that while they're sleeping, an intruder, a thief, comes up in their house and steals everything that they have. Now, obviously, how many know the thief did not want them to know that he was present? Right? How many know he didn't go up to the door, knock first, and say, hey, you mind if I come in, steal a few things, and I'll be on my way? How many know that just didn't happen, right? But here's what you need to know. There really is, everybody, an enemy after you. And there's an enemy of your soul. And that we need to be aware that this is happening. It's the truth that is going to set us free. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, to be self-controlled and alert, or to wake up, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. You say, well, Pastor, man, I can't believe you talking about demons today. You know, but why are we so comfortable talking about angels? Now, we can talk about the fat baby angels, which aren't even real, all right? You know, that floating and doing the harp thing. And, or you know, or if it's a funeral, well, they're with the angels of the Lord now. But here's the deal, that we have an enemy that's after us, that's trying to take us out, and those demons really are real. And so I know there's kind of two sides of people I'm probably talking to right now. There's some that are saying, man, yes, man, I'm so glad you're talking about this. This is the good stuff. Then I got others that are probably thinking, man, Pastor, that at the movie series was a lot better. Man, I'm thinking we need to go back to that in Jesus' name, you know. I just feel a little better there, you know. And so I'm just saying, just relax, but just to understand it's the truth that will set us free. I love what C.S. Lewis said. He said, Satan hails the skeptic and the superstitious alike. All right? In other words, he likes it when people believe that there's a devil under every rock. Maybe you've heard the saying, the devil made me do it, or everything, you know, there's some that believe everything bad in the world is all the devil's fault, I ran out of gas down the road. Man, I wonder how the devil did that. No, sister, you forgot to fill up your gas tank. That's what happened. Relax, all right? Lordy, but don't be a skeptic either, because that doesn't make it go away. Again, I'm just trying to give you the truth, because it's the truth that's going to set you free. Here's the second truth I want to give you, and that's that we can be under their influence. And this is a question I get, and most of us pastors get this question from time to time, and I've gotten it from people. Pastor, do you mean, and they've asked me this, do you mean that people of God and those that are saved can be demon-possessed? And my answer to them is no, not in your definition, because I think we need to understand what the word possessed actually means in the Bible, and it does not mean ownership, it means mastery over. So let me say it this way. How many know that the guy who broke into our friend's house, that robber didn't own the house, right? But how many know he influenced that house that day? Right? And for me personally, for some that may or may not know my testimony, as a young boy, I was molested multiple times. And from that, it took me down another dark road, and a long dark road of pornography that for many years I struggled with and had to get professional help to come out of all of that bondage in my life. And it was a journey. But here's what I know. Pornography didn't own me, but I was under its influence. It'd be no different if I took drugs, if I were to take drugs or drink a bunch of alcohol. Drugs and alcohol don't own me, but I would be under its influence. Is this making sense, everybody? Or I just kind of want to make sure you understand what I'm saying. Ephesians chapter 4, this is an example of how you can even get under the influence as well. The Bible says, in your anger, do not sin. So God recognizes that we're going to have times in our life that we're going to get angry, but God said, don't take it further. And it goes on to say, don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, meaning let's resolve the problem, let's resolve the conflict. This verse is actually a life verse for Bethany and I. But when we were engaged, this was a verse that we talked about a lot. And then obviously when we got married, that we made the decision that anytime there were problems or conflict, we're going to work things out before we go to sleep at night. All right, because we're going to have peace, and we love each other enough to have peace for the next day, to not wake up to junk and mess. Amen, everybody. All right? So we made that decision, and here's why. The Bible goes on to say, don't give the devil a foothold, because if we don't resolve the problem and we don't fix it, then it gives an open door to the enemy to come in, and it gives him permission to try and come and wreak havoc, not just on my life, but, you know, on whatever else is happening around me, my marriage, my family, all right, my job. He who has been stealing must steal no longer. And so I had to make some decisions in my life that, especially when I was in such a season of struggle and bondage many years ago, that I knew that if I was going to come out, I was going to have to get honest with God, but get honest with people, and then make some other radical decisions. And so I had to kind of boot out the computer. It just wasn't in the house, wasn't around, because I wasn't ready for it. Why? Because I like freedom a lot more than I like bondage. Amen, everybody? And I got real serious about it. And so one day when the computer was reintroduced in my life, guess what? We had passwords and everything to protect. Why? Because I love freedom more than I love junk and bondage in my life. And I'm going to do whatever it takes to make sure I stay in freedom. And that's where we have to get, is a place of honesty and say, man, I can't do this on my own. I need God, but man, I need people. Amen? And so that's the part that we have to understand that God wants for us. And here's the third truth that's awesome and powerful. Get ready for it. You ready? That in Jesus' name, they have to go. Every influence, every power of the enemy has to go at the name of Jesus. The Bible says in Luke chapter 10, Jesus is talking here. The 72 returned with joy. Now the 72, just so you know kind of who they are, were 72 that were sent, people that were sent to proclaim the good news of the gospel. They come back with joy. And notice what they say to Jesus. They said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And I think it's interesting that Jesus said, well, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And I just think it's interesting that Jesus took a minute to say, hey, guys, listen, but it's kind of part of the journey. Here's the deal. All right. At one point, of course, Satan, Lucifer, was in heaven over the worship. But he had a time where he was going to try to exalt himself above God. And, of course, God ain't gonna have that. And so Jesus is telling, hey, guys, I was there when it happened. Like, I was there when God the Father, like, I was next to it. And you know how quick he fell? Like lightning. I mean, think about that. That's how quick. He didn't even think about it. Boom, gone. And the other thing I want to remind us of, that Satan was a created being. He has no power over us. God is the Almighty God who has power. Amen, everybody? And so we need to remember we have power over him. That anything the enemy tries to do, there's nothing creative in him. The only thing he tries to do is pervert that which God has created. Never mix those two up and understand that. Amen, everybody? All right, so let's make sure we know that and going forward. And so it goes on to say here, he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. And that's just symbolic of just really demons or the demonic. And to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. But I love that. God has given us authority over all the power of the enemy. And however, check this out. Do not rejoice. Man, I love Jesus. He said that the spirit submit to you. He's like, guys, it's not a big deal. I guess the way it's supposed to be. But hey, rejoice that you on the winning team and that your names are written in heaven, everybody. Amen? And so Romans chapter 8, it says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Everybody say, I'm more than a conqueror. Through him who loved us, for I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now here's the deal. For some, we read verses like this and say, man, I believe it. I get it. I buy in. I know that God has given me authority. I know he wants me to be free, but here's the deal. Pastor, I'm still struggling with that one thing. I'm still tripping up. I'm still in that place where it feels like the cycle is just, here we go again. It's like I have 4 or 5 weeks of victory, and then, man, here we go again. Why is it? Why does that happen? And I think it's a great question, and I'm going to try to help answer it here, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says, "For though we live in the world, we don't wage the war as the world does." Okay, yeah, all right. Trying to understand that. "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world." Okay, trying to do that. But here it is. "But on the contrary, they have divine power to demolish," here it is, "strongholds." If you're a note taker, you might want to underline that because that's important. I'm going to tell you what that means in just a minute. So there is the war that takes place in the natural. If you turn on the news, I mean, no, you'll see the chaos in the world and the different wars that are happening right now. But there is a war, listen to me very clearly, in the realm of the spirit. And it is called spiritual warfare. And it is a real fight, all right? That the enemy is trying to oppose everything God's trying to do. But he will not succeed, nor will he be victorious. Amen, church? And so we need to be understanding of that. And prayer is, yes, communicating to God, and it's communion. And it's spending time with him, and it's talking with him, and it's growing in your relationship with him. It's yes. And I would never make light of that because that is so important. But sometimes what doesn't get taught, and I'm not quite sure why, is the other aspect of prayer that is so important in our lives of, as believers, and that is prayer is also a time for us to confront the enemy. And it's a time for us to remind him, our God is in charge, and you have no influence or control over my life or my family in Jesus' name. Amen? So we need to remember that. So for us, it's that area or areas in our life, and it's called a stronghold. The Greek definition, man, I thought this is so interesting. And it literally means, it's in your notes, jot this down, a prisoner locked by deception. Do you realize that the only weapon that the enemy has that he uses against you and me is his lies? That's it. Remember, there's nothing creative in him. He just tries to pervert everything God has created. That's all he has is lies to try to get you and I to believe in things that are not true. So he's lying to us. So when we are in a place that we're trying to get free or there's bondage in our life, and that stronghold or strongholds are present, we're living by something that is not true. Because again, that's what a stronghold is. It's a deception. It's a lie. We have many people that will go to heaven, but will still be believing some lies. And it's not God's will for you to buy into that, but to buy into the truth of God. Amen? Because it's the truth that will set you free. So man, Pastor, where's this come from? Let me tell you where it comes from. Bad programming. That we've had so much bad programming and we haven't had enough good programming in our mind, in our spirit. And I'm going to show you in a few verses right here. John 8:44, it says, "When the devil lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Y'all see a theme there? All right. 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God or against the word of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." The mind is a battlefield. It's a battlefield. Many fights and wars are won and lost just right here within our life. And God's saying, when he saved us, he said, I'm saving you, but I'm also wanting to reprogram some things. I want to transform the way you think. Oftentimes when our life is a mess, it's because our mind is a mess. And I like how Joyce Meyer kind of said it best. She calls it stinking thinking, all right, because that's what happens. And so, but the more time you spend with God, man, the more time that your mind is and can be renewed. Romans 12:2 says, "Don't conform to the pattern of this world. Don't do what everybody else is doing. It's not working. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Ephesians 4, 22-23, "You were taught to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds." Are you getting this today, church? I hope you are. Here's how we defeat the enemy. We defeat the enemy by replacing every lie he has told us with the truth of God's word. And here's what I know. Hurts my feelings to say this, but I know that Sunday services and messages aren't enough for us. Hurts my feelings, but I know that, all right? I know it's not enough. You and I need a process for our lives to be changed. And so I want to invite you on a journey with us this year. I want to invite you right now in the midst of our 21 days of prayer and fasting, that if you haven't started up, man, we got 2 weeks. It's a great time to start in with us and begin to pray about that. Listen to last week's message. Let it help you to know the direction, because I tried to equip and prepare us well for this fast. And so dive in, pray more than you've ever prayed before. Disconnect, fast from the things of this world, all right? And then here's what I want to encourage you to do. Take your next steps. Jump in growth track. If you haven't been in growth track, I want to encourage you to jump in growth track and then start discovering not only the vision and where we're headed as a church, but start discovering vision for your life, your gifts, man, God's call, your purpose in your life. And then after you've done that, go serve on a team. Go get on the dream team and start serving. Can I tell you something pretty cool that happens when you start serving and you get on a team? Is that you're the one that actually reaps the benefit, even though you're touching lives and people are being impacted, because you receive personal healing when you serve people. It's amazing, and it's an honor. And so you'll receive that. And then don't just stop there, all right? All right, again, I'm asking, give us a year of your life. Do this year. And then get in a small group. And there's one group specifically I encourage everybody to always go through at least once. Some are going through it again this next semester. It's awesome. It's fine. And this group, I'm encouraging you, and we have a lot of small groups, I just want you to know, that's going to start on the first Sunday of February. Our semester goes through February through the end of April, all right? And then we have our summer time, shortened one, and then we have another fall semester. So in the fall and in this semester, we have our group, and this group's called Freedom. It's a Freedom group. And I've personally went through it myself, and it was powerful last year. So I didn't just teach it, but I also, man, as a student, received. And it was awesome for me. And you know what happens in this? Is that it's kind of like an onion. This is the only way I know how to describe it. It's kind of layer by layer. God peels back some things. Peels back the hurt. Peels back the hurt, the past memory. Peels back, come on, the addictions or the struggles in our life for us to get honest with the Lord and to bring healing. And then after the end of the semester, we conclude, for those that went through Freedom, we have what's called the Freedom Conference. And it is powerful. And so I'm just encouraging you, and there's some, you know, there's a lot of people in our church that have been through Freedom, and they know what I'm talking about because they've been through it, and you can talk to them, but men, I want you to know I'm leading a men's Freedom group, and I invite you on this journey together as men. Let's do this. Come on, let's get serious about what God wants to do this year. Ladies, I want you to know you're going to have the opportunity too. My wife's going to lead one. Her and I always lead small groups, but we felt specifically coming in this year that both of us were supposed to lead a men's and a women's one. And then we'll have other Freedom groups that'll be available as well, all right? So I'm just inviting you in on the journey, all right, and to do this and to go through this year with us, and don't just attend one or two services a month, all right? I'm your pastor, and I love you. Remember that, all right? But if you're in town, come to church. Like, be here. All right? And come to church, and don't just settle for messages online unless, you know, you're sick or you're out of town, and be a part of the family of God. Make it a priority, man, for you and your kids or whoever, that, man, I'm going to always be a part of the family. Say, man, Pastor Kyle, you asking for a lot today. Are you asking for a lot of commitment? Yes, I am. Listen to me, and here's why. Because if we don't start changing some things and commit our heart, then the same thing that we've been struggling with this year is going to be back on the list a year from now. And I believe a bunch of people are done with that same stuff and those cycles and are ready for freedom in Jesus' name. I believe that. And so I'm inviting you together. Let's go on a journey this year. Let's do this together. Let's go after God with everything within us. I'm just kind of like a tour guide. I just want to be with you along the way, all right, everybody? That's just my heart, all right? And here, at the end of that 1 year of your life, if your life has not been changed or impacted in some way, then my commitment to you is I'll drive you around Fort Wayne, I'll help you find a church, and then I'll join that church with you, all right? All right, because if not, then something's not working. All right, anyways, just having fun with you. Here's three things I want to give you, though. If you're going to go on this journey, I want to give you this. You need to know this. First of all, that God loves you and he's for you. He's not mad at you. He loves you. If God had a giant refrigerator in heaven, listen to me, your picture would be on it. Absolutely. John 3:16 and verse 17 says, this is how much God loved the world, that he gave his son, his one and only son, And this is why, so that no one need to be destroyed by believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go, look at this, I love this part. He didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger or telling the world how bad it was. Can you read this last part with me? He came to help. He came to help. Second is this, is that I can be free. Come on, don't give up. Will you say that with me? I can be free. Say it again, church. I
can be free.
Yeah, you can be free. The cycle can be broken. Romans 8 says this, you no longer have to live under continuous low-lying black cloud. A new power is in operation. The spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. I want to tell you something last week when many of you wrote on those connection cards. It was an honor this week, and it's an honor for us this whole month to pray with you, to pray for those things that you wrote down. This altar, and these, I mean, it was full with connection cards. It was incredible yesterday. I'm just, man, it was awesome. But just personally, my own private time, I took each and every thing you wrote down just with me, and I prayed. And I'm going to continue to pray because some of you are believing for freedom, freedom from addictions. Some of you need God to move in your marriage, need your spouse to be saved. I know. I mean, I'm just telling you this, I believe, is the year for many. If you'll go all in and on this journey with God. And I want you to know you've got a church family that is for you and that stands with you and is going to believe God for things to move for your good in your life. In Jesus' name, this is a praying church. I want you to know that. And we're serious about it. Here's the third thing very quickly, is that I can be restored. I can be free, but I can be restored. That God can turn you back into something powerful and use you for good. I love this psalm in chapter 71, verse 20. It says, though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up. God can heal. He can turn every scar, every pain, every hurtful memory, every hurt, every mistake, everything, and make you brand new again. And I'm just encouraging us today, let's all of us go all in. I'm going to pray a prayer in a second. I'm just going to invite you for all of us to go all in. For some, we may have known God for a long time, but you're saying, man, it's time for a fresh start. I'm ready for this journey. I need it. I want it. Would you bow your heads? Let's pray. Let me pray over you first, and we're going to pray together. Father, I thank you, man, so much for your presence, God. We don't take these moments lightly at all. God, we only get so much time together on these Sundays, and I love it. But Lord, I pray more than anything that we hear your voice today, that the enemy has been defeated. We don't have to fear that. Father, if we're going to accomplish and do everything you've called us to do, we cannot do this alone. But God, I believe there's people here, and in their hearts they know, and maybe even saying right now, it's time to go on the journey. It's time to go on the journey with God and to do this. So Father, I just thank you right now. And Lord, I even know that it's tough to sometimes make these decisions, but in Jesus' name, I just declare no more excuses, no more holding back. Father, that you would just ignite each and every person with that passion and fire to go after it. To go after for the sake of freedom in our life. God, we thank you for freedom. We thank you in advance for what you are going to do and through this fast, what you're doing and speaking to us. We just open up our heart and our spirit to all that you are and what you want to say. And if you're here today, I'm just inviting all of us right here, all of us. You say, man, I need to surrender everything over to God. Everything is not surrendered. Maybe you realize that today. I thought everything was, but I need to surrender it all. I need that fresh start. I don't want you to hesitate. Don't want you to wait. On the count of three, I'm just asking you, throw your hand up if you say, man, that's me, and then we're going to pray. One, two, three. It says, man, that's me. I'm serious about this. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gotcha, gotcha, gotcha. Come on, keep behind. There you go. Gotcha. People all around. Man, that's awesome. Come on, ready for a journey, man. Ready, ready, ready. Yeah, man. Thank you. Praise Praise God. Praise God. And I just want you to pray this prayer. Just pray something like this after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. Come on, I want you to say it with some strength today, church. Jesus, I give you my life. Give you all that I am. Forgive me of my sins. Thank you for cleansing my past away. Thank you, God, for freedom. Thank you for courage today. Thank you for strength. This is a year of freedom for me. And I thank you, Lord, for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, and if you really believe it, let's put our hands together for Jesus. Come on, can we do that? Come on, this is a year. Come on, we thank you, God, for freedom.